9. You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Sarah Swetsoff, Jimmy Tardy, Ken Jones, Don Zare, Olivia Aubury, and Sequoia Wright. Special thanks to Mike Crenshaw. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Ken Jones.
And I'm Paul Rowland. Coming up tomorrow on KBOO at 7, as usual, is Democracy Now! At 8, is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. At 9, Alternative Radio, and much more throughout the morning and continuing on in the day. Right now, we're going to go to a live interview conducted by KBOO's Mike Crenshaw for our News in Depth.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Nearly 3 years after the death of a former Joint Base Lewis McChord soldier, Texas officials recently released a video of his final moments. Sergeant James Brown was on active duty when he walked into an El Paso jail to serve a two-day sentence for a DUI. A few hours later, he was dead, and his family is now suing the local police department. The newly released video shows a 16-minute exchange between Brown and the jail guards. When he checked in, jail records show that Brown reported in writing that he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder after seeing combat. The video begins with Brown alone inside a jail cell at El Paso County Jail. It appears that Brown covered the window to his door, and blood is also visible on the window. Unwilling to come to the door, a team of guards entered Brown's cell and handcuffed him. For the next 11 minutes, Brown can be heard telling the guards he couldn't breathe. He was then left alone, and no medical personnel were called. Several hours later, he died. KBOO station co-manager Mike Crenshaw interviewed Brown's mother, Dinetta Scott, about the newly released video.
I'm speaking with Dinetta Scott, the mother of James Brown, who was killed by El Paso sheriffs 3 years ago. And recently, video has surfaced of the killing. And I'm really glad, I'll say for myself, that video has come out, because when I first heard about what happened a few years back, there were too many unanswered questions, and I didn't feel like the public, and myself included, were armed with enough information to really give direction to any type of response. And I wanted to ask you, how long ago exactly was it that the video did surface?
I actually was contacted back in April of this year that we had received a copy of the video.
Okay. And so,
actually, our attorney had received it. I'm sorry.
Okay. How did he actually acquire a copy of the video?
He had been petitioning the court for a copy of the video for investigative purposes.
One of the things that the questions in my mind is, when James called you and told you he was turning himself in, correct?
Correct.
And how long was it between the time he let you know he was doing that and the time that you knew something was wrong?
James, and I call him Jay, so if I say Jay, that's who I'm referring to, checked in on Friday the 13th. I spoke to him at approximately 7:45 that he was turning himself in and he would speak with me on Sunday. I received a phone call Saturday morning at 6:30 from a bail bondsman saying that somebody from the jail was trying to get a hold of me, and they were going to connect us. And at that time, I spoke with my son, Jay, and he said, you know, can you send me some money? They're trying to make me stay 7 days instead of what my sentence was, which was for the weekend. And he said, they said, all I need to do is pay the court fines, and I can get out. So I got that money to him, and I tried to call to the jail to, you know, verify the amount and to see if he was going to be released, but I never spoke with anyone. I called for several hours, and I got a message from my daughter-in-law that night at approximately 8 o'clock that I needed to call her. And when I called her, that's when she told me what had happened.
I am very sorry for your loss. I actually knew Jay and spent some time with him down here in Portland. And I don't feel that there was ever any closure, because you know, it's challenging when you actually never get to say goodbye to somebody. And I'm just curious as to, you know, the last 3 years, what it's been like living with the fact that this tragedy has happened.
It's at times it's frustrating, overwhelming. You know, I question myself on numerous amounts of occasions, you know, did I call enough? Did I send enough money? You know, what else could I have done to make sure that, you know, this had not had happened? You know, I question myself am I doing everything necessary to get this story out there? Am I, you know, finding out exactly what happened to my child? I mean, I knew something went wrong, but I just never knew what.
Do you feel that there was something personal or possibly a vendetta between the law enforcement personnel and Jay that might have stemmed from the incident where he was initially arrested for the DUI?
I really couldn't say, because when he was arrested for the DUI, he never spoke of, you know, any incidences between him and the officers, you know, meaning there were, like, no foul words or altercations. So I really can't say that. I have no clue as to why they singled him out.
And the judge who cleared, it was a judge who said that he died of natural causes, correct?
No, it was the El Paso medical examiner that determined he died of a sickle cell crisis, natural causes.
And do you know, has there been any type of legal action or pursuit of legal action by the armed forces, by the military, of which he was a member?
To my knowledge, no. I contacted CID, and they did say they were going to investigate initially, and come to find out that investigation was basically taking the information that the El Paso County Sheriff's Department had.
So, in your mind, what would justice look like going forward?
At this point in time, because of in the beginning, the grand jury stated that there wasn't enough evidence. So I'm trying to see if they had the correct tape. In my mind, the officers and the medical personnel that they had in the jail at that time should be brought up on charges or charged with his death. And the ruling on his death certificate should be changed to, you know, homicide or murder, not natural causes, because there was nothing natural about the way that he died. I didn't see the video, but from what I hear, there was nothing natural about the way he died.
Well, it took me a while to watch the video, to work up the courage to watch it. But then I felt a sense of responsibility so that I could be informed. What I saw was there was a few different versions because a lot of different media outlets have been covering it. And I think the one on Democracy Now! Was the most informative, the most detailed one that I saw. And I think it was in that one that I saw an officer standing with some type of syringe. And the question in my mind was, when do officers in a jail become medically certified to give injections? The other question was how much the whatever they injected Jay with was directly related to his condition from which he ultimately passed away. Do those questions...
And we have no knowledge. Yeah, those same questions arise in my mind. And we have no knowledge as to what that was that they gave him. And in the initial jail report, they say that Jay consented to that injection. And from what people say in the video, they never asked him if it was okay that they gave him an injection. They never once said, we're going to inject you at this time. They just administered it.
Wouldn't there have to be either a verbal record of his consent or a signature?
Yes, correct. He would have to verbally consent to the injection. And from what people are telling me, he never did that in the video, and they never asked him. But in the initial jail report, they say that he walked to the nurse's station. He consented to the injection, and they observed him for 15 minutes before returning him to the cell.
And is this prior to whatever incident that hasn't been recorded that people are referring to, where they say he was something happened in the cell and he was bleeding, and there's a lot of mystery around whatever that was?
Yes. Well, the injection part, well, we clearly see that that's a lie, because you see him get an injection in the video. But I'm just speaking of, like, what the initial jail report says. Now, as you know, according to the witness that was in the holding cell with him, he was with other inmates. They took him out, beat him up, he collapsed. And they continued to beat him, and then they took him to another cell. Me, myself, I believe that that's when the public starts watching the video from.
Right.
You see him in a cell with windows covered with blood and toilet paper. Now, what happened prior to that to get him to the state he was in?
That's the question.
You know, a question of mine, yes. Others. You know, you obviously have been around him. Me knowing him from, you know, a child, Jay was very loyal to his friends and his brothers. Once you made a friend in him, you know, he was your friend for life, and he was going to be loyal to you. So these are men that he went into battle with and he entrusted his life with. He would want me to fight for them and for me to be a voice for him and for them as well. And so that no other mother would have to go through what I've had to go through.
Again, thank you, Donetta. It's been good talking to you. And I know you've been real busy, and I appreciate the sacrifice and the time you're putting in. And, you know, keep your head up, and I hope for the best.
Thank you, Mike, and thanks for your time as well, and thanks for sharing his story.
This is Ramona Africa, and you're listening to KBOO, KBOO 90.7 on your dial. KBOO is the exact example of the community taking charge of itself on the move.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of a film screening of COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. COINTELPRO 101 is a one-hour documentary produced by the Freedom Archives explaining an illegal FBI program coined as the Counterintelligence Program, spearheaded by J. Edgar Hoover, that targeted revolutionaries of the 60s and 70s. There will also be a presentation of ongoing local work and Q&A session after the film. Again, that's COINTELPRO 101 Monday, June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Day.